You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this.
Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Connie Warden. Connie shares a story of a time when she was in her car, driving, ready for a fantastic, relaxing day, but things did not go like she planned. Now, what happened may not be exactly what you first are expecting from this story, because sometimes on this show, when I'm telling stories of changes and transformation, the event that starts it is dramatic and change in a minute and all the life-changing things. But one of the reasons I actually love this story, and I'm thankful to Connie for suggesting it and coming on to share her story, is that this is an example of a small choice or a series of choices that made a big change or a significant change in her life. So, and also, I think this is totally relatable. I think that almost everybody listening and watching is going to be able to relate to this story. I know I definitely do. I definitely have had similar experiences. So, all right, it's time. Let's get started. Connie Warden, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm so happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat today?
Thank you for having me.
Yay. All right. I start all of my interviews by asking my guests what part of the world they call home. Where are you?
I am in Littleton, Colorado, not too far from Denver.
Very nice. I know where Littleton is. So that's a wonderful place to be. And are you a lifelong Coloradan, or did you find your way there as an adult?
I found my way very young. I've been here 38 years, but I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin.
Ooh, another fun town. Oh my goodness. All right.
Yeah.
That's very cool. All right. Very. In a second, we're going to start the official interview, which is not about cool towns in the United States, but there's one more warm-up question. We say laughter is the best medicine. Share with us something that you can rely on to bring a smile to your face or laughter to your life.
Wow. I am okay with making fun of myself.
Okay.
And so I can, in fact, just the other day, I was getting ready for a graduation party at my house. I was hosting, I had my family helping me, and I was trying to rigmarole something. And somebody said, well, why don't you just do this? And I'm like, I just had a laugh at how difficult I made that. And it was a real simple thing. And so I don't know, I like to laugh at myself. And so.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay. The topic of the day is actually, we're going to talk about a time where you admit that you were, I'm going to use the word jerk. You actually used a spicier sentence enhancer in your pitch, and spicy words are allowed on the show, but I did tone it down for this particular part. One of the reasons I happen to love this topic is because it's not something that is like a big deal at first, major transformation, you know, a huge thing. But I actually think that some of the things that make the biggest differences in our life are the small shifts we make on a daily basis. And we sort of take them for granted, or we ignore them, or we, you know, downplay them, and so on and so forth. This is you having a moment where you were being a bit of a jerk to another driver in a car. Can you take us back to that moment and tell us what happened?
Sure. So it was a beautiful, I believe it was a July day, and it was sunny, and I was kind of patting myself on the back because I was going to do self-care time, and I was going to take my paddleboard and go to the quarry that I love to just hang out on, and it's just such a wonderful time. So I was feeling so happy. My heart was full. I got everything in my car, and I go out my driveway, take a left, and I'm behind this person at a red light. I just said to take a right, and I'm on my way. So the red light turns green, and the person doesn't move, not an inch, doesn't move at all. And I'm like, what? Come on. So I beep a little bit, and I come around to the side, and I want to look at what is going on. And then I'm hit with, I know what I just did. And there is a mom in the passenger seat and a girl in the driver's seat, probably driving for the very first time. I mean, that was the hit I got. And I've been there. I help my kids drive. And I just broke my heart that I was such, I felt like I made her freeze. You know how when you get scared, you
Yeah.
flight, fright, freeze. And I paused that. And I remember just shrinking. And I took my right. And as I drove, I said, I am never going to let that happen again. I felt so much shame. But I really worked at trying to stay neutral till I could get on my paddleboard and really think about what I needed to do to make a change. So that was my moment of, no, this isn't going to happen again.
All right. I love this story. There's many pieces of it I can identify with. We'll touch on those throughout this conversation. I think that a lot of people listening have been in this position and have various stories where we look back and we can say that we didn't behave perfectly as drivers or pedestrians or just human beings, right? It's very, very relatable. So my next question, though, is if you're truthful and honest about your life. Had you ever done this before as a driver, or was this the very, very first time in your entire life that you had ever been short-tempered or annoyed with other drivers?
I wish.
Yeah. I didn't, that question could have gone either way. You could have been like, yeah, it was the very, very first time. But the thing is, I think that, there's a piece of this is that, yeah, this is a thing that we, it happens to all of us. We're in a mood, we're in a hurry, we don't know what other people are going through, and we can be very short-tempered. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's I write about that in the book because when I finish, it's like, I'm better at driving, but I have my moments, and it's usually because I'm tired, I'm in a hurry, I'm stressed out, and it comes out that way, but it's certainly not as dramatic as that day.
Okay.
I have so much more compassion for people who do dumb stuff.
Sure, absolutely. All right, so let's back up to your experience because part of this is that you the story that you have about this is you're pretty sure that the person who is in the driver's seat was somebody who might be new to driving. So let's talk about you learning to drive when that happened. How old were you when you learned to drive, and was it in Wisconsin or Colorado? And do you remember who were the people in your life who taught you to drive?
I'm sure I learned around 15 years old,
Okay.
and I don't remember a whole lot about it. And I know my oldest brother helped me drive. I remember taking a driver's class. They actually used to have those in school,
Yeah.
and so yeah, I and you know what? A story is coming up into my head because one time I'm in Wisconsin and my sister's driving, one of my sisters. So I'm a family, I have eight siblings. I'm one of eight. And one of my sisters was driving and she's at a red light. It turns green. She's not aware of it. So the person behind beeps the horn and she immediately gives them the finger.
Yep.
So the police officer that honked the horn turned on its lights and pulled her over. And so, I actually write that in my book because I'm thinking I would never do that. I would never be such a jerk. And here I was. I know I got a little off topic, but
No, that is the, I think that is the topic. I will share a story that came to mind when I was putting the questions together for this interview, which is very similar. So I learned how to drive in New York City, which is probably the opposite of learning to drive in Wisconsin. But I was with my dad in a car. We were it was on an incline. I was exiting off of a causeway and there was an incline, so I had to shift to move up. I stopped at a light and I had to shift in traffic. I was very, very nervous that I would roll back and bump the cars behind, which is a thing. I think everybody who's driven a manual transmission has had that moment of, I don't want to do that. So somehow I got my dad to get out of the car and he went to the cars behind us and told them I was a new driver and they gave me some extra space. And I don't remember them being aggressive or assertive in this. I do remember my father got back in the car and he was like, I'm only ever going to do that one time. I'm never doing this again. You have to figure this out and be able to do this. And we went on our way. But I do still remember that. I think that the process of learning to drive can feel, I mean, it's an experience. It's definitely, definitely an experience for sure. So, yeah. So then what about this do you think really caused you when you got on the paddleboard? What about this do you think really hit you and caused you to this experience to make a difference than maybe any other time when somebody wasn't paying attention?
Yes, the reason why this hit me so hard was because I'm an acupuncturist. I know what our emotions can do to our bodies. I was a yoga instructor teaching meditation and mindfulness. So the cognitive dissonance of who I was trying to be, what I was teaching, this whole mindful being, in the body and relaxed, and it was total opposite. And I'm like, wow. So that was what really got me,
Okay,
was
yeah.
like, yeah.
This is not who I want to be. I think that's the way, in something you submitted, you said, this is not the way I want to show up. This is how I'm going to change. All right, so we're going to go more in depth on this topic in just a second, driving behavior, driving experiences, learning to drive. But I want to take a second and talk directly to the audience who's listening, all the people who are hearing these stories and thinking about their moments in their own lives, because I think a lot of people have them. I want to invite you to join the conversation because when this episode goes live on social media, there will be discussion questions. You'll find them on Instagram and on YouTube, and you can interact with me, with Connie, with other people in the audience, all of those things. If you're not already following the show on social media, the links for that are in the show notes. All right. And now let's talk more about this story, right? If the person who had been in the driver's seat in this time, if it hadn't been a young person, if it had been somebody your own age, somebody on their phone, whatever, do you think you would have had the same reaction? Would it have touched you, or is something about it very connected to the fact that it was a new person and or a younger person?
I agree with what you say. I think it would have been a different reaction that it was this young person. Like if someone's on their phone, hey,
Right. You
two
shouldn't do
minutes.
that, but we all do it.
I agree.
Yeah.
You should have a light, right? This is where I'm going to say, I think it was because it was this young gal and again, I taught my daughter and son how to drive. We've been in that boat. And so I think it was because of this young person. And I still live in this area. And it's somehow that ever comes out. I hope I can say I'm sorry and give her a hug and say, you taught me something very well and it changed my life. I hope I didn't ruin your life.
Yeah, no. I mean, and it is so teaching other people to drive. You mentioned that was exactly where I was going to go with the conversation because teaching other people to drive, that's a whole other experience. One of the things is there's such a big gap between when we learn to drive and then when we teach somebody else how to drive, and you forget all the 5,227 steps for every single thing. And so it's a big gap, and it is such a big, there's real risk. There's real risk in driving a car. It's a very expensive piece of equipment. I remember telling the kids that went through our house, I was like, so goal number one is the car and other things can never occupy the same space. This is what we're trying to avoid. Where the car is, you don't want to touch it with anything else. There's all that stuff that goes into it, and we forget all the steps and all the navigation, like all the thinking that goes through it. And it is a process. It definitely is a process.
Yeah. And this is such a universal experience.
Yeah.
And I think that was the only way I could actually publish the book, because I know that other people can would get this, because it is embarrassing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the things that I really like about this story now that I've heard it is that there wasn't, you were on your way to do self-care. You were setting your own timetable, right? You weren't on your way to fight a fire or, on the way to meet somebody at the hospital with a sense of urgency or any of those things. And I think that makes this even more humane and relatable.
Right.
Yeah. So, do you think, if I'm setting this up, do you think that there's ever a chance in a situation where the outburst and the reaction and the jerky behavior gets a pass?
Wow. Well, again, what I call in the book, I talk about squeezing the cactus. Okay.
Squeezing the
And so,
cactus. Why would anybody
yes,
do that?
exactly, because you're going to get hurt,
Okay.
right? Right? You would hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And so, an outburst is really only hurting you, right? You're just sending a whole, your nervous system, you're firing off the nervous system, you're putting toxins in your body. So, does it help the other person? Most likely not, right? If the only person is hurting is yourself. And
Yeah.
that's the whole thing.
You know, what's interesting is that that's actually a very advanced concept, right? The first time somebody tells you that when you are angry and when you are exploding, it's hurting you, not the other person, or at least the first time somebody taught me that, I was like, no. I'm angry at them. My anger is directed at them. And so it takes a little while to understand that, well, not really. You're the one who's experiencing it. Like they're having their own experience. Maybe they're receiving the anger, but the other person could just be like, oh, I don't know what's going on over there, lady. Have a nice day. It is really all self-enclosed.
Yeah, and again, I talk a lot about in the book is about the wake we leave, and what we leave behind with a negative outburst. Now, I think there's a safety thing sometimes,
Yes.
and I think maybe if there was any reason to have it, it would be out of helping someone not get hurt. I liken this. I think everyone's seen people yelling at the TV because the ref did a bad call.
Right.
Now, it's never going to change the call. And the only person you're hurting by getting upset and yelling is yourself.
Yeah, no,
So.
this every once in a while, I have some very passionate sports fans in my family. And so it's not usually, every once in a while, I will say, they can't hear you on the other side of the television, just so we're all on the same page. I can hear you, and so because there's a line, there's definitely a line. The safety element of it is absolutely true. This was a thing that I try and channel it for myself and teach my kids and so on and so forth. That sometimes people will honk at me and I'm like, oh, thank you. Like I appreciate that. Like I, was at the light not paying attention, or I don't want to swerve or hit you or something like that. So it's meant as an alert, and so thank you for alerting me to that. Like I wasn't paying attention, but in the moment, it has a jarring reaction. It can scare you, and people do react in different ways. Many members of my family react like your sister, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's absolutely their fault. Like, doesn't matter. Absolutely, they're going to flip you off, call you names, even if they're 100% in the wrong. Like, it's before they've even processed what's going on, they've extended the magic fingers. So I think that's so. Let's talk about. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about safety. As a driver or as a passenger, have you ever been in a traffic accident?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been in a few traffic accidents. And the last one I was in, it was my fault. I was taking a left And so I had to wait for cars to pass
Yep.
me. And I thought, but I didn't know where I was. I wanted to kind of, I looked around, which street am I in? You know, because I was lost. And then this kid, he was traveling too fast and he would come up the hill. So he didn't have enough time to stop because I was turning. And so he hit me. And the interesting thing is, so I was actually fine. I knew it was my fault because I was taking the left. And I actually 2 years later was still saying some things in my head, like, oh, you know, because it was my fault. And so I had so much self-doubt when I was driving, and I would take a look like five times to make sure I could turn. And so I was working in an office with a psychotherapist, and she was getting certified in EMDR,
Oh, right, the
that
eye
rapid
movement,
eye
yeah.
movement.
Yep.
And she says, you know, I need some people to work on. And she says, do you have something that I guess, oh, you know what? It's this driving and the self-doubt. And I thought it was a very light topic, but it pulled up a lot of self-doubt from maybe from childhood. But I did two treatments, and I remember one point going, yeah, that was just good thinking, Connie. And so within two treatments, I got rid of this loop that I had because of this accident, which was
That's
really
a
cool.
really great story about EMDR. So to loop the people who are listening in who may not know what that is, EMDR is eye movement desensitization. Yeah, eye movement desensitization. It's predominantly used for PTSD and traumatic incidents. And what it's doing is it's using the movements of our eyes, which we think are created related to dreams and memory and all of those things, and desensitizing our reaction. So, like you were saying, recalling that moment where you were pausing and kept replaying it and putting yourself in doubt and sort of dampening that down. So the same situation can happen, but you can have a calmer, more present reaction moving forward. And so what a great use of that. Good job, you guys. Good job. That is fantastic. And I think that is one of the reasons that, we can explode when we don't think that the people around us are driving the right way. I live in Miami, Florida, where we are famous, deservedly so, for our terrible drivers. It is a crazy place to drive. And one of the things is we have an enormous number of tourists in town. And so you'll be behind somebody who's not going anywhere. They're not doing what you want to do. They're not following the instructions. They're turning the wrong way, all of the things. And, when you're in the right frame of mind, you can be like, they don't know. They don't know. But other times you're like, I really just want you out of the way so that I can go to the grocery store. Like, I know where I'm going. What are you doing? And so I've been on both sides of that for sure. Now let's talk about how this has changed for you. Like, what changed in your life? You had this experience, you took the chance, that took the moment to do some self-exploration. You decided to be more kind and compassionate. How does that show up now in your life?
So it's somehow gonna bleed into everything,
Okay.
right?
Yeah.
And so one of the strategies that I put in the book is about the stories we make up, right? We're
Okay.
making up stories all the time. And so I think one of the biggest things was that I learned to catch my stories and that there were stories. We don't know if it's true or not. That must be a really old person in that car because they
Right.
can't turn with any speed or whatever, right? And so making up so changing the stories, is very transformational in my life. And the other thing that really was impactful was my spiritual bypassing. So
Okay.
remember, right? Or emotional bypassing, say, I
Yep.
don't feel that. And I tell a story in the book, and this was really impactful and impactful in my life right now about how I still can feel rage. I still can feel that stuff. I don't have to react, but to say I'm not feeling it is just stuffing it. And at some point, it'll come out somewhere.
Right.
And so recognizing and calling out and saying to myself, I'm angry, I'm frustrated. So instead of, I'm saying, okay, I can deal with this traffic. All right. Okay, nice person. All right, I'm a good person. I can be relaxed when I'm driving here. And then having something small happen later, and I burst out. And I think that was the hardest thing about writing this book, or the feeling I could write about it, because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to drive and not bypass the emotions. And so I came up with three different things that were very helpful for me. One is EFT tapping, and I
Okay.
like to tap right in the right by my collarbone. So that is very helpful. And just the second one would be naming it, saying naming frustration, anger. And then sometime, and the other thing to do is come up with a silly song about the jerky driver.
Oh,
And
okay, so okay.
just whatever. And it, again, it put some humor on it. And just.
Yeah, so you mentioned the EFT tapping and then the naming and claiming. Those two things go very well together because one of the tools we use with tapping is starting with the even though. So like instead of saying to yourself, "I'm calm right now," when you're really not, when you're really boiling with rage, you might say, "All right, I feel rage and anger, but I'm going to work on staying calm, you know, or I deeply love and accept myself." And I think that's a really, really powerful tool. I love it. I use it all the time for myself. I think that's really, really, really good. So here's a question that I came up with out of thin air, right? This is a very 2025 question. How do you think that self-driving cars, like the cars that have all the automation and they're making the decisions for us, how do you think that that might affect drivers' attitudes towards each other when mistakes are made and people don't do the right thing?
Oh my goodness. That, yeah, out of thin air, because this is a 2025 question. When I think, if I thought of going into a car that had no driver, that's anxiety filling for me.
Okay, yeah. Or if
Have
you
more
had pulled up,
experience.
yeah, if you had pulled up next to the car, you were frustrated with the decision, and you look over and there's no driver.
Oh,
What do you do? Like,
what?
who? There's
Oh
nowhere to
my
be met.
goodness.
Yeah.
I have another book coming out.
There you go. I was thinking about that. I was just absolutely. I was thinking about that. I was like, I think that. I mean, because it might be that then we as the passengers would unite against and we our anger, our frustration at the machine. Like, if you're on a train or an airplane and it breaks down, it's like everybody's together. Like, well, this sucks. You know, like this shouldn't be like that. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a thing I haven't experienced yet either. All right. So in a second, we're gonna do the final fun questions. But let's talk about the book and let's talk about what you do now and how you want people to follow up with you in the future after they listen to this episode.
Sure. You can go on my website, which is ConnieWarden.com, and there's an email, Connie at ConnieWarden.com. So that's pretty easy. I would love to hear people's stories. And I think one of the reasons why I was that it helped me to that got me to write this book and publish it was because my editors would say stuff, oh my God, Connie. Thank you, because I was on my way to my baseball game and I was hitting all these red lights. And then I thought about what you said. And it really helped me. And so I have such good feedback. And I would just love a review on Amazon. And so we can get people to pick up the book, and you'll get something out of it, everyone that has read it. And that just warms my heart. So.
Very good. I love that. I think it is a very universal experience and one that can be fun to talk about. The book is called Speeding to Compassion, Life Lessons and Humor to the High Road. And we'll have the information about where you can find it in the show notes. And the easiest way to get the links about the things that we talk about in the show is to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email list, because then it comes into your email box and you can click on it. You don't have to hunt it up. You don't have to type it. You don't have to copy and paste it. You just click. All right. Connie, are you ready for the final three questions?
I've listened to your podcast. I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
Right, very good. Do you consider yourself a morning person, a night owl, or something else in between?
Definitely a morning person,
Morning
right? We're doing
person.
this at 8 in the morning and I've already been walking, meditated, journaled. So yes.
Beautiful. All right. So, who's a person in your life that you go to when you have a question? Who's the person that you'll call or text when something comes up in mind that you want to
Most likely my husband.
know? Okay.
We've been married for 37 years. He knows me.
Very
So
good. Very
definitely my
good.
husband.
Love that. All right. So now, what's a favorite tradition or a custom in your family? Like it can be a holiday thing. It could be something from your childhood, something you remember, something you do together. It can be big or little, but what's something in your family that you love that's a tradition or a custom?
Together on July 4th weekend. We did the, and by the way, July 4th is my birthday, so
Oh, very
the
good.
fireworks are for me.
Yeah.
And so we would get together often, and now we get together in Wisconsin at my brother's cabin, removed boat, and it's just so nice.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. I love also that because there's two, when you have a birthday that falls on a holiday, there's two ways to look at it. One is that we're all celebrating you and that the world comes out and shows up for you, which I think that's the more fun way to do it. And I'm thrilled that you have it. But the other way is there are people who just hate it. People just hate it. And they're like, nobody is celebrating my birthday and I never get to have a party on my birthday. And it's like, nah, yes, that is. And I'm not going to say that that's not hard. There are people in my family who have winter holiday related birthdays and, it's not the easiest. But on the other hand, it's like, look, everybody, the world dressed up for you and everybody put lights on for you. There we go. That's it, Connie Warden. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest today on the show.
you for having me, Amy. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself. Head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.